Hey, it's Rider Club Radio with your host, Jeff.
And your other host, Liam.
And I'm not doing a voice.
And today,
why'd you do a voice?
I mean, I thought I'd go for it.
That's my normal speaking cadence.
This is my normal speaking voice, too.
This is how I normally sound when I'm out and about on my daily business.
Yes, I'd like a coffee and a donut, please.
But here's what you can get. A 99-cent tip.
Hey. Do you want
this week... We watched the Kamen Rider X-Aid Christmas special.
Mm-hmm. What a Christmas special it was.
And the Animal Sentai Juojur Christmas special.
What a Christmas special that was.
Not in the same way.
They were a tad different, each of them, but would you like to...
Why don't we just go ahead and dive right into X-Aid episode whatever. X-Aid episode Kurisumasu.
Alrighty, you ready?
I'm ready.
Alright, so this week on X-Aid, a very X-Aid Christmas, Dan Kuroda disappears after he's revealed that he's Kamen Rider Genmu, and he fucks off. He ditches his office and he lives in the bowling alley. I don't know why I thought it was a bowling alley.
There's nothing in that room that makes it look like a bowling alley.
It should be an abandoned arcade, but it's
yeah, it really should be.
It should be, but it's not. It's just like a dark office. He had his light office and now he has his dark office and he hangs out there with Pallid. In the underground dark office, but that's not important. Shuhei turns out he hates his parents because they're always really busy around Christmas because they make cakes and Japanese people will eat cake
on
Christmas.
Who called that shit?
Well, hang on. I called that he hated Christmas. You called that he hated cakes and his mom just didn't know. So I think we were both right.
Yeah, I actually called that he hated Christmas because his parents were never
around.
Yeah,
that's true.
So we were both right.
Okay, I was half right. Jeff was like 90% there.
I'm always 100% right at all times.
So Shuhei hates Christmas because his parents make cakes. Japanese people eat cakes on Christmas. They're super busy. They gotta make 100 Christmas cakes all the time. And he climbs up to a tree, and he makes a little holly bracelet for his mom, but he fell out of the tree and broke his leg. That's how he broke his leg and ended up
in
the CR.
It was a wreath, you dipshit.
Whatever, it was a thing. It was a little circle made out of holly.
Okay? Here, Mom, I made you a circle. Merry Christmas.
Mother, accept this Christmas circle. Is this the Christmas episode of Rider Club Radio? It's after Christmas. It feels inappropriate.
It's not the Christmas episode any longer.
It's a post-Christmas episode.
This is the Christmas episode. Like, you have to put, like, jingle bells over the theme
See. I'll put sleigh bells on there. We'll see.
That's not gonna happen.
Well, we'll see. So he broke his leg. He was climbing trees. He broke his leg because he was making a wreath. Meanwhile... Kiria, our friend Kiria, meets with Dan Masamune, who's Dan Kuroda's father. He goes to a prison and he meets Dan Masamune and he learns something horrible, we don't know. But he learns something horrible about Emu's surgery. So he calls everyone and he says, "Hey guys, I learned something about Emu's surgery. We gotta all meet up." But before
and
that,
his actor is such a great actor that he sounds like he's brainwashed when he's doing it, but he's not. Like, he's acting like he's brainwashed and someone's making him. But that's not even in the script or anything. He's just normally calling them.
That's because he knows this is his last episode. He's phoning it in.
Yeah, he's like, who cares?
Who
I just need
shit?
To make this fucking paycheck and I gotta move on.
Yeah, move on to Ultraman or something. So, Emu beats Salty the Wizard. And they throw a big Christmas party. And there's an amazing song. And fucking Brave gets a beard and dresses like Santa. And Emu also dresses like Santa.
I'm not going to mince words with you here, Liam. I blacked out during this part.
Not often am I embarrassed watching Toku. I really am shameless about it. I tell everyone about it. I have a poster in my apartment of Kamen Rider. I was a little embarrassed.
Which Kamen Rider do you have a poster of?
Well, it's Gaim, but it still stands. That's one of the more normal people-friendly series, but, you know, it stands.
Yeah, which is ironic, considering it's a show about fruit samurai that dance.
That's the one that normal people like. It's the one that normal people have heard of when I tell them about it. I'm like, hey, I watch Kamen Rider.
I don't know if there are any normal people who watch Kamen Rider.
I've seen, okay, there's someone who is totally normal, who I mentioned Kamen Rider to, and they were like, is that the one with the fruit? And this is a person who goes to parties and shit. And leads a totally fulfilling life, unlike me. They know about Gaim. They've heard of Gaim. They have a friend who watched Gaim.
It says a lot about Liam that, like, he just said that he goes to parties. He lives a fulfilling life.
He's talked to other people in the last 6 months. He lives a totally fulfilling life.
He knows what the touch of another human being feels like. He's such a fucking normie.
My point is he's a filthy normie and he knows Gaim. But I was, bring back around, I was a tad embarrassed watching this Christmas scene.
Dude, thankfully, I was wearing headphones watching it, right? And the music kicks in, and they start dancing around and shit, and I just took my headphones off and threw them on the floor and waited for the scene to end to put them back on.
Because, first of all, you don't want to hear Poppy, but second of all, if someone walks in, you need to hear them so you can shut your laptop or whatever.
Can pull the trigger.
So you can shoo them out of the room, embarrassedly.
Shoot them out of the room.
I'm doing something private, okay? Fuck off. This is my work. Watch this.
Look,
Japanese
I have
idol.
To watch this, okay? I have to.
It's fine. I got it. I'm sorry. I can't just quit.
I have a podcast. I have to do this.
So they have a Christmas party, and that's the end of the episode. Jeff, what'd you think? That was a great Christmas special.
Yeah, it was a little weird that they showed that, like, real murder scene after the episode was over.
It's not the end of the episode. So they all get together. Dan Kuroda intercepts Kyria. And he tricks Kyria. He gives him a dangerous zombie, and Kyria tries to use it, and it kills him almost. And then Dan Kuroda says, no, there's a real way to use this. He puts it in the bug visor, puts the bug visor on his belt, makes it the Buggle Driver, and it is called the Buggle Driver. I looked it up.
And it says, Buggle Up.
And he turns into dangerous zombie, which looks great. And
he
kills Kyria.
He's a Kamen Rider Genmu X.
Yeah,
level X.
That's it.
Which is level 10. He comes level 10 is what they call it.
Yeah. And he fucking kills Kyria. He kills him good.
Fucking murderizes him, and then Kyria dies in a really heartfelt rain scene where he does not tell anyone the thing he was going to tell them. Even though he has plenty of time.
What did you find out, Kyria? Emu, you gotta take your fate into your own hands. Kyria, what did you find out, though? Emu, always remember me. Kyria, what's the super important thing that you literally died for?
Emu, I have several videotapes that need to be returned to Blockbuster.
I don't want the late fees to be passed on to my next of kin. And that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think of the Kamen Rider X-Aid Christmas special, Kurisu Master
Special? Talk about
special.
Tonal fucking whiplash, dude.
Yeah, that the phrase of the week is tonal whiplash.
Like, I don't think I've ever had this drastic of tonal whiplash in a single episode before.
Yeah, Kabuto ain't got shit on this show.
Like, there's one of the most ridiculous scenes in Kamen Rider history in this episode, and it's a Christmas special. And your gift for Christmas this year is one of your favorite characters gets fucking murked.
He gets trounced in this episode by a very cool looking new form.
Dude, the Genmu level 10 is the coolest looking suit in the series.
Yeah, so far, for sure.
It's so fucking cool looking.
I get a bit of
I'm like really partial to white and black outfits.
Yeah, it's a really nice color scheme that goes together unlike most of the other suits in the show.
I love that his eyes are two different colors
as well. One's red and one's purple. That's very neat.
It's the whole suit's really fucking awesome, but Laser's done. And Kyria is dead.
That is insane. I remember someone asked us way earlier, they said, if any riders are going to die, who do you think it is? And we both correctly said it's going to be Kyria, but we both also said, this show is very focused on the four main characters, and if anybody dies, it's going to be late, like in the 40s.
Oh no, they just murdered him immediately.
And he got the flowers, he's gone. He's done.
Well, his body dissipated into nothingness. I don't think he's coming back regardless.
Well, they're not going to pull any horse shit. Like, when you get beat by a bugster, your data is put in the hard drive and you can plug it into the and bring him back to life. No, there's nothing like that. He's dead. He's gone.
It's not Ghost.
It's not Ghost. No one's coming back.
I can't believe that. I really, I called that he was going to get killed. But I never thought it would be this early.
Me neither. But I love that. I do love that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We were both talking about how the series had Ryuki vibes.
Yeah, and with all the fighting and the rider rivalries.
Yeah, and it's definitely got some more Ryuki vibes now.
Riders dying early.
Although it's more Gaim vibes to me now.
Yeah, I hope that's kind of when Exit was coming out. I said something where I hope they fake us out and have like a fun thing, and then something bad happens, and then it goes downhill, just like Gaim did. And it's kind of doing that.
A little bit.
I hope so.
And I mean, there were hints that Laser was gonna bite it. The fact that he only had up to level 3 and that's it.
Yeah, I mean he goes level 5, but he doesn't. He's got no future beyond that.
No. Well, he's definitely got no future now. Dude, but seriously, the tonal whiplash is out of control in this episode. Like, it has the most embarrassing scene in the whole series.
Yeah.
Followed directly by the most heartfelt and sad scene in the whole series.
A lot of people are saying they love this episode. And I'd be right there with you if it weren't for the Christmas scene, which is, even if it wasn't, like, I can take that with Kamen Rider, I can accept that with like, modern Toei shows, Kamen Rider, Super Sentai, that's just the stuff that comes with them. It's just, it creates such a, like we said, whiplash, it creates such a horrible whiplash.
There's a horrible dissonance between those two scenes.
It's like they're two different shows, or at least two different episodes.
And if that happened, if the Christmas stuff happened in one episode, and then Laser's death happened in another episode, that'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah, but I guess they were working with constraints. Like, I bet this is probably some kind of conflict between the writers and Toei, I'd say, on some level. Like, I'm almost certain that they were like, okay, so Laser's gonna die in this episode. And then as the time went on, they were like, oh shit, this is also the episode that falls right around Christmas. And Toei's like,
we'll just put a Christmas scene in there, fuck it,
yeah. That Toei's like, well, you gotta promote the Christmas cakes that were gonna be sold in Japanese 7-Eleven. You have to have a Christmas scene in there. So they compromised, and it didn't really work for the episode.
No, that's my biggest problem in this episode, is the episode's really good, except the Christmas scene.
The fucking, if you could have the Shuhei plot, and resolve that on the side, while the Laser thing happens, but the fucking Christmas bit, where it turns into a music video for a couple minutes, just a little too far, just a little too far.
Like, how embarrassing that it was in this episode. But that's my problem with the episode. And I mean, there's only so many ways you can say it, but it detracts from the, like, hard-hitting emotional ending of this episode, that mostly all I can think about is the stupid fucking Poppy Peepo Papa Pump fucking scene.
The one she sings Jingle Bells.
Exactly. She sings Peepo Bells.
Peepo Bells. When this episode came out, it dropped on Christmas Day, I believe.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it because it dropped on fucking Christmas Day, and I had plans. And then I had plans on Boxing Day. I didn't see it for a little... Oh yeah, Boxing Day? Shit.
I feel like people know what Boxing Day is.
The Americans don't know Boxing Day. Okay, it was Christmas Day.
I'm an American. I know Boxing Day.
You know Boxing Day? Okay. I had plans on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. And I didn't see it for a bit. But all I saw, the buzz I saw was someone dies. I didn't know who. I avoided who, thank God. But I know someone died.
Yeah, I would like to thank our Rider Club Radio fans for tweeting at me that Laser dies.
You got
and for sending an email that starts out with the first line saying Laser dies, so it shows up in the preview on Gmail. Thanks, guys.
This is why Jeff does the emails.
Fuck you.
So I didn't know who died, and I had it pegged for Dan, considering that he was dying at the end of the last episode.
No, he's fine.
And I thought Masamune was gonna be Dangerous Zombie. When they showed him, I was like, okay, this motherfucker's gonna break out or something, and he's gonna take over. Nope! Laser. And I'm kinda thankful for that.
So how did Dan Kuroto get the data for death if he wasn't dying in any way, shape, or form?
That's another thing. He's better. You gotta get to death. His life bar ran out and he was fine. What's up with that?
He used Dangerous Zombies and maybe it made him immortal or something.
Maybe he's got to use Dangerous Zombies once every 24 hours or something, or else he'll die. That'd be interesting.
It seems like information they probably should have told the audience, if that's true.
Hopefully they will.
Maybe
At least have someone bring it up and be like, why is Dan still alive? I fucking killed him.
Yeah, I thought he was dead as shit. What happened?
I am probably, Mojo. It's, made
it's
sure.
Not really going to matter much.
Probably not. It's not a huge deal. It's
no, it's just a little plot hole.
He got his death data, and I think the ending of this episode was good and made up for it.
Yeah.
And it makes you curious. It leaves a mystery, too. That, like, before it was like, how did Emu get the compatibility surgery? Well, he probably just got it when he took that surgery 16 years ago. But now, Kyria comes out and says, no, there's something fucking earth-shattering about this.
Yeah, and
so,
he like, blames it on Dan Kuroto a little bit. Like, he says, Dan Kuroto, you know why Emu can use the belt and he doesn't have the compatibility surgery, don't you? You're behind it.
But Dan Kuroto was a little baby child when Emu was getting the surgery.
It's really hard to tell the difference in ages between these characters.
Sometimes a guy who looks like he's 20 is actually 40, and vice versa.
It's, Japanese don't crack, as they say.
not early, no.
Man, I'm really in love with the way Genmu level 10 looks. It's so fucking cool.
It's a great, like you said, best suit design in the show so far.
It's
looks
so
gorgeous.
Cool. I mean, like, white and black, like I said, like, Mach is one of my favorite suits in Kamen Rider history.
Just a nice,
and I love
simple color scheme.
Fang Joker as well.
Yeah.
They're just fucking amazing suits.
And the reveal is cool. The shot, there's that close-up shot of his face when the smoke is clearing, and he's got his arms out. He looks really neat when it's first revealing his mask.
He does like zombie twitching and shit before he stands up normally.
Yeah,
which was pretty fun. And then he murders your favorite character, everyone.
He murders Brave?
No, not your favorite character. Normal people's favorite character.
Normal normies.
My favorite character is Emu.
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to get killed.
I'd guess no. Unless they pull a bullshit revival arc in the middle.
Wouldn't it be nuts, and I think we've talked about this before, wouldn't it be nuts if a character died and the secondary rider had to be the main character for the rest of the series?
Oh my god.
That would be insane. It'll never happen.
Never happen.
How are the children going to buy the toys of a dead main character?
Never happen. Always the main character gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And leaves everyone else in the dust.
Until either, like, the day is saved or it turns out he's a monster mash. That is the arc of the main character.
I wonder if this is going to be a Gashatz secretly turn you into a Bugster little by little series. Speaking of that,
yeah,
Poppy's
speaking
a Bugster.
Of that, we learn that Poppy Peepo Papapo Pap is a fucking Bugster, and nobody seems to care about this. How does she exist?
It's like we were theorizing about that early on. Like, whoa, wouldn't it be a crazy spoiler if Poppy turned out to be a Bugster? That'd be crazy. In this episode, she's like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm a Bugster." And everyone's like, "Oh, okay." And then they just
Like, "Yeah, we already know." Which is even worse. If they would have just been like, "Oh, really? Okay," that would have been a little bit better, but still would have been bad. But
this opens it up to a plot arc where Brave has to kill her. Maybe
which would be fun.
That would be great if Brave turns evil because he's like, you fuckers are protecting a Bugster. You can't have that.
That's not gonna happen, but that'd be excellent. Like, Bugsters exist in the real world because, like, there's somebody in a bed disappearing from some horrible disease.
Yeah.
So how does Poppy exist?
Poppy has to have killed her patient.
Wouldn't that be fucked up, though, if Poppy, like, was fully autonomous and, like, her own person because she killed the patient she was popped out of?
Maybe she's a good guy because she's repentant.
That would make me enjoy the character existing a little bit more.
You think they'd do this shit with Poppy?
No.
You think they'd give her an arc?
It's gonna turn out that, like, she's an experimental Bugster that, like, the CR made to be, like, a guide to teach him more about Bugsters.
Yeah, that's a lot more realistic.
Or some stupid shit like that. X-Aid's been really great so far.
Yeah, but, I guess we can't.
They need to work on that tone a little bit.
It's just with this episode, the Christmas, the unfortunate timing of the death of a character.
Yeah.
It's like when your friend dies on Christmas. Like, you have a Christmas party, and like 10 minutes later he's dead, and you're like, well, fuck.
Do we go back to the Christmas party?
I'm just gonna go back. I'll mourn when the eggnog's gone.
Yeah, I'm already fucking half buzzed. I can't go back now. but I think that's all I have to say about this episode.
Yeah, same here. It was good. It was good. It just had that one big problem with the tone.
It was like eating a, it was like eating a sandwich, right? You're eating a delicious deli sandwich, and it's a really fucking great sandwich. Food metaphors.
Yeah, the
and,
contract stipulates one per episode.
And you get to the middle of the sandwich, and there's like a big fucking clump of hair. But you take it out, and you finish the sandwich, and it's still just as good afterwards.
Well, it's more like you're eating pancakes, and then there's a bit of ketchup on it. And you're like, well, I like pancakes, and I like ketchup, but... You put them together.
I don't like Poppy Peepa Papo music video. Fuck you.
That's true. Like I said, I'll take it. I'll take it and accept it. But not here. God damn it. Not
There's
here.
A line that cannot be crossed in the sand. It's yeah, been drawn.
I'm talking about a line in the sand here.
This far and no further!
We have buddies that died face down in the mud, no one for this shit.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I hear we got some pretty good news this week.
Yeah, there's some pretty good news. So, a new movie got announced that absolutely everybody was expecting, called Cho Superhero Taisen. It's between X-Aid and Q-Ranger, when Q-Ranger
actually
comes out.
It really should be called Die Superhero Taisen.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? But the reason why I put it on here is because literally translated, Cho Superhero Taisen means Super Superhero Wars. Which sounds dumb as fuck in English, which is why yeah. It's not getting brought
up.
It is
really dumb. Speaking of Q-Ranger, though, all the information about the characters has been released.
Yeah, I got that, too. You want to talk about that while we're on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing else about this movie, it's just that it's coming.
Yeah.
So Q-Ranger got released. The plot details that we know, all we know is that apparently it takes place in a distant future... When the whole galaxy has been taken over by some evil alien warlord. And I'm going to guess... The Empire, of course. And I'm going to guess that in this distant future, Earth still is the same. And has the same cities and stuff.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But yeah, that's what we know about the plot. But we learned about the characters today. And that a bunch of them are aliens. And a bunch of them are humans. And the Bull character is a wrestling robot. He's
yeah.
Like a wrestling champion robot.
And we learned that... Hibitsukai Silver, Liam's favorite, is an emotionless warrior from the Hibitsukai system.
Damn straight.
And we learned that Tenbin Gold, who is my favorite, is a robot life form and a thief from the Tenbin system.
What a bastard.
So I'm curious to how he's going to be justice, but also be a thief. I'm really hoping, like, crossing fingers beyond all hope, that he's a Robin Hood type.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be really awesome. And it's not just yet another, like, I hate to say it, like, I guess I'm racist against Japanese media sometimes, but yet another, like, character who has justice as their symbol is not a justice type person. Isn't that wacky?
Isn't that
crazy? Good writing?
He takes justice too far. And he's a villain.
Isn't that original? You get tired of that shit.
Yeah, a little. Apparently it's going to start with all nine of them. A Sentai yep. First, fucking nine Rangers. That's almost as many as Kyuranger's 738. I guess that's why it's called Q-Ranger, because it's Q. Nine.
Yeah, there's nine of
Rangers.
Them.
Yeah, they're not cops, I don't think. Well, they might be, I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're nine Ranger.
Maybe it's like a double pun. It's nine cops. Q.
The suits are fucking awesome, though.
They're so good.
Like, I love them. And like, I especially love that they have, like, the circular gems in their chest that have their symbols in them.
Yeah, they actually have aesthetic differences beyond color. That's very cool.
Yeah, and I still love the Tenbin Gold. His suit is the fucking sweetest.
He's pretty cool. Yeah, the whole show is looking pretty cool so far. Hopefully it will not disappoint.
I mean, there is that old principle that we put forth.
The suit principle. The suit rule.
Yeah. It's the Toei reverse suit principle.
The quality of a show's suits is inversely proportionate to the quality of the show's writing.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it doesn't hold true this time.
Let's see if it holds water.
But I really hope that my love of Tenbin Gold will not be misplaced when the show begins.
We'll see.
The silver guy is living up to Liam's expectations already, so...
He's just like his stance suggests, he's the Edgelord, the emotionless warrior from the whatever system.
Hibitsukai.
From the Hibitsukai system.
He's Hibitsukai Silver.
Yeah, I knew that.
Naga Ray.
That's his name?
Yeah, his name is Naga Ray.
Naga Ray. Okay, so something hilarious happened this week. So Kiria dies, and Toei's Twitter tweets out, why does Kiria die so soon? Which is a reference to Grave of the Fireflies,
Which is a movie about the fallout of the fucking Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings in World War II.
Why do the Fireflies die so soon? They say, why does Kiria die so soon? And a bunch of people came out and said, hey, that might be a little inappropriate, Toei. Maybe a bit of a misstep to compare this character
perhaps
dying.
Perhaps you shouldn't compare this character in a children's show to the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
A horrific act of nuclear war. So Toei said, oh, sorry, and removed it. But I saw, and so did Tokunet. So it lives in our hearts, this hilarious... fucking awful tweet lives in our hearts forever.
They issued an apology, which is always funny when a company issues an apology.
When a company does something that's worth apologizing for, that's the moment when I come alive.
Toei at least has a little bit more honor than, SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs!
Do you remember the SpaghettiOs 9/11?
How could I forget? It was the Pearl Harbor. How can I forget the Pearl Harbor SpaghettiOs tweet?
Look it up.
Look it up. Just look up Pearl Harbor SpaghettiOs. It's worth it. Okay, what else? Okay, Japanese 7-Eleven, which is called Lawson, is having a thing. They're having a little event where you can go to there and participate in little lotteries and win Kamen Rider prizes. There's foods and toys and stuff you can win. But I included it here because they have a thing called, they're like Kamen Rider teriyaki chicken pieces, like chicken strips.
Could you be whiter?
No,
teriyaki?
No. Teriyaki Kamen Rider. And you eat them. They're called Chicken Kamen Rider Henshin Taste because you eat them. It starts out tasting like teriyaki. And then it transforms into tasting like cheese when you're halfway through eating it.
Cheese?
Teriyaki to cheese. Mid-bite.
The worst. Unless it was teriyaki to toothpaste. I couldn't get any worse than teriyaki to cheese.
Toothpaste to orange juice flavored chicken.
Oh, God.
Just really, it's just like Emu, really. Emu, when he's normal, is a lot like teriyaki. And when he turns into X-Aid, he's a lot like cheese. It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor for making me vomit.
Oh, and one more... one more good thing. One... one in every... one in every 700 chicken pieces sold will have a picture of Kamen Rider 1 or V3 or X-Aid on them. But only one in every 700. So you have to buy...
You have to buy 700 chicken tenders to assure that you'll be able to eat a photo of Kamen Rider 1v3 or whoever else.
When I was a kid, Eggo did a thing where they put Pokemon on their waffles.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
I remember that.
Imagine if they did a thing where they're like, here's Eggo waffles. One in every 700 waffles will have a picture of Pikachu on it.
Pikachu will still be on the box of all of them. But you have to buy 700 Eggo waffles in order to see him on your waffle.
Statistically, you might get unlucky. You might buy 700 for no reason.
And never see Pikachu in your entire life. I've got a bit of news.
Do you?
Yeah. Ren Kiriyama, who played Shotaro in Kamen Rider Double, is going to be in a live-action movie. He's still getting work!
Oh, is it... I'm psychic. Is it an adaptation of an anime?
Yes. It's an adaptation of a manga.
Always.
It's called Danten Niwa... It's called Japanese name.
Oh, my favorite anime.
And it's set during the Meiji Restoration.
Oh, that's actually kind of interesting.
And it's like, there's a special forces team that are put together to seal the power of Orochi, the giant snake demon.
Oh.
But there's some ninjas who want to take the power of the snake demon.
Oh, I think I read Naruto already.
Yeah, Rin Kiriyama stars as Naruto.
Very cool. Perfect casting.
I'm just really excited that he's still getting work.
He deserves
honestly.
It.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's the best. That's ends my news, though.
Okay, it was great. Congratulations. How did it feel to be the anchor? Just a little bit.
I can be newsman. I don't need you on this podcast.
Yeah, whatever.
I can be newsman.
This week, Toei released commemorative t-shirts for Kiria that says, "Game over." It shows him dying. So if you want to buy that.
Because if there's anything Toei won't profit off of, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, we haven't found it yet. Keep looking.
What type of, like, fucking marketing meeting were they in? Like, well, this character dies. Let's just profit off of that.
Well, first we'll sell a t-shirt. Then we'll make a joke about Hiroshima. It'll be the perfect 1-2 punch. It's fucking hell indeed. We got a trailer, a little short little trailer for the Kamen Rider Genmu spinoff YouTube series this week. And it shows a couple of the Legend Rider forms, and they look pretty cool. So take a look at that. The guy I'm following.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Nope.
You want to take a break and look at it? It's like a minute long.
A minute? Yeah, I guess I could.
All right.
Oh, God, Poppy's in it. Shut it off.
Keep watching.
They look okay.
I like them.
They look all right. I have the same problem with all Legend Rider forms altogether, is that they're just like a weird coat of paint slapped over the normal form.
Yeah.
Like ultimate cash grab. Like, remember, there's a new thing you like. How about remember things you used to like?
Let's take
buy them.
Let's take one of the toys and let's
X-wing.
X-wings and AT-ATs.
ATST. ATST.
No more. No more. Let's take one of the new toys, and instead of putting something thematically appropriate on it, let's just put an older rider on it. See how that goes.
People buy them. They do special sets of all of them every time, and they sell out.
True. If they make a Ryuki Gishat, I might cave. We'll see.
I want the regular Gishats. I have slight plans. I don't know if I should say them on here or not, but I have slight plans to make t-shirts that have the logos of all the Gishats on them.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. Maybe look forward to them, maybe don't.
Maybe forget I said it.
Maybe fuck yourself.
Maybe look forward to them.
Maybe I'll cut this out and you'll never even hear it.
Yeah, you'll hear it.
That's the end of my news. That's all I got.
Well, that was a pretty good haul for news this time.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
You've outdone yourself, which isn't very difficult considering who you are.
Oh, well, I guess I tried. Do you want to talk about Super Sentai?
Yeah, let's talk about Animal Sentai Gyojur episode Kurisumasu.
Episode of Christmas. This is the episode about Christmas where they try to get a package to Uncle Mario, but they fail. And Mario finds out that all of his house guests are the Gyojurs, and they can't buy a sweater.
Yeah, they can't purchase a sweater because they forgot sales tax. There's no sales tax in Jewland.
No, they don't have to deal with that shit. What did you think of this episode, Jeff?
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, same. I liked it. Didn't love it, I liked it. I do like that they mention Canada and high sales tax in the same episode. I feel like that's a dig. Mario goes to Canada and then they complain about sales tax later on. Someone at Toei is very savvy.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with fucking anything.
Okay, sales tax is really high here.
But I am excited for next episode where we meet Juo Human.
Yeah.
The pink Juojur. I'm fucking excited.
I think it's neat that Mario has finally found out about his guest mates. I figured it would happen around this time in the show that he'd figure it out.
Yeah, I thought he would have to figure out eventually, because he's too, like, they put too much importance on his character as, like, a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be weird if they spent the entire show lying to him and never had anything happen with it.
Yeah, it's true. Did you notice that this episode they didn't resolve Yamato's conflict with his dad?
No, they certainly did not.
I thought that would be this episode, but nope. It's coming later.
It's going to happen sooner or later. Yeah. But they do keep mentioning it.
Because that was the most...
he ran away from home.
That was the most interesting arc to me. That was the most interesting, like, hook that they threw out there that I really wanted to see resolved. And I was really wondering how they were going to resolve it. Because it's rare that Kamen Rider does real life shit these days. Where it's just, like, stuff happening to the characters that doesn't have anything to do with being a rider or monsters or anything. And just shit they got to deal with in their real lives. And it's really, I really was not expecting Sentai to do it in the modern day, but here we have...
they're doing it. They do it a lot, actually.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah, Sentai always has episodes based on the characters' out-of-suit lives and stuff they have to deal with.
It's just
always, like, juxtaposed with in-suit shit. Like, they learn how to defeat a monster or something, and it helps them get over whatever problem they were having with their, like, aunt or their dad or whatever.
My fucking aunt at the Christmas party.
She keeps fucking trying to pinch my cheeks.
But they didn't do that with this episode. I'm really curious to see where they're going with that.
They're gonna do it.
Yeah, of course they're gonna do it.
There's also this little thing that happens throughout the episode where Misao keeps reacting to things, like, sadly, but they never come out and say why.
What do you mean? Wait, what? I didn't notice this.
Yeah, like, they keep, like, the camera goes to him every now and then, and he, like, kind of, like, looks around like he's sad or something. Like, when they were talking, when Yamato paid for the sales tax on the sweater, that's one that popped up in my head just then. Misao makes, like, a sad face and looks around like he doesn't know what to do when that happens. And that happens, like, 3 times in the episode.
I didn't catch
that. And I think he feels like he's not really part of the group, because they're all Jumans, or related to Jumans or something, and he's not.
Yeah.
And maybe that has something to do with it?
I don't know, I feel like they'd be more obvious about something like that, though.
I don't know, I thought they were going to do something with it, but they did not. So I feel like next episode, since next episode's a continuation of this episode, that they're going to do something about that.
I like that Azald gets more involved in this one, too.
Yeah, I have a theory about Azald.
What is your theory about Azald?
I feel like it's probably everybody's theory at this point. That Azald is the monster that Cube Whale and Kaidus fought.
Yeah.
And, like, he was resurrected by Genos.
That makes sense.
To be part of the Blood Game.
And he doesn't have his memories or something.
Yeah. That's my theory.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. That explains the Juro Cube connection, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, shit, you're probably right.
I hope I'm right. That'd be really fucking cool.
There's a Christmas scene in this episode where they all disguise as animals and hand out cakes. And everyone's like, damn, those animal costumes are great. And it was the one time when I was like, yeah, actually, that makes sense. They do look like costumes.
In-universe, shouldn't they be, like, completely not costumey? Like, you could tell that it's a lion head?
Nope. It turns out Jumans actually look like, you know, like, plastic costumes.
Well,
that's how we're supposed to see them. Yeah.
You know what I've been thinking about recently?
What?
How different would this series have been if there were 3 extra Sentai members? Like, Juo Crocodile, Juo Rhino, and Juo Wolf.
Oh. I don't, like, think it would be as cool, because it wouldn't have
gold, black, and silver.
It wouldn't have Misao in it.
Yeah, Misao is a big part of the series. And I would definitely miss him, but it would be really cool to see what those characters look like, what kind of personalities they'd have.
Yeah, I do like the projections of them in Misao's head. Every time they show up, they're fun.
Yeah, I love their outfits.
Yeah.
They have wildly varying outfits.
Yeah, like the wolf with his ear flaps.
Yeah, he's like a fucking, like...
like an Arctic
wolf. Canadian.
He's a Canadian man, yeah.
He is a Canadian wolf.
A lot of Canada in Juojo this week.
Yeah. this week, they introduced the wolf in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode is more of like a prelude episode. I mean, the monster has like a sort of interesting power that they didn't really use too much of.
Yeah, where he can just paint
anything and create it. And they make like a samurai and a monk and a clown.
Why doesn't he paint a giant robot? Why doesn't he paint six giant robots?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he paint the Juogers?
That would have been cool.
That would have been, well, I guess the Juogers have been fighting themselves a lot.
Yeah, they've done that already. But he should have painted Juo Crocodile, Juo Wolf, Juo Rhino.
Oh, but then they'd have to make suits for just one scene.
Yeah, they're not going to make suits for that shit. But his power was interesting, but he didn't really use it too much. And a fun fact, the Japanese call clowns Pierrots.
Pierrots?
Which is a, like, there's a French clown that was really popular named Pierrot. And for some reason, the Japanese just decided that's the name of all clowns.
Like what we call them, Kleenex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
He is the corporate brand of clown.
He's the Kleenex that everyone uses. Of clowns. Yeah. That's funny. Notice when we talk about Georgia, we don't talk about the monsters of the week that often.
No, because they're not really that important.
Yeah, the Georgias themselves, they're the main fucking event in every episode.
Yeah, and I thought it was sweet that the Georgias all want to get a nice present for Mario.
Yeah,
and I think Mario has the patience of a fucking saint, that he has like four fucking house guests just freeloading in his house, and he doesn't say anything about it.
In this episode, finally he cracks a little, and he's like, hey, are they moving out soon? I mean, it's almost New Year's. Are they leaving soon?
He's more like thinking they should be with their families or something.
They're in their 20s and they don't have jobs. They're not going to school. They have a plan.
I feel like he should have asked something about this before now. Like, who are these people? Where did they come from? Why are they here?
Where did you meet them?
But no, he's super chill about it. He's just like, all right, they can stay.
He's the cool uncle.
He's too cool. I wouldn't let one person stay at my fucking house if I didn't know anything about him.
He's the uncle that you're like 15 and he sneaks you a beer at the family reunion.
Uncle Mario, jeez.
Yeah, he's that uncle.
I was on the Power Rangers wiki, which is also the Super Sentai wiki.
It's the same
there
wiki
is no Super
reason.
Sentai wiki, yeah. Actually. It's just the Power Rangers one.
Funny that.
Which is strange, because there's a wiki for, like, everything. Sometimes there's multiple wikis for the same series.
Yeah, Zelda, I know, has, like, three wikis.
Yeah, I think Naruto has two wikis, speaking of that guy earlier.
Bring it all back around. That's called a callback, folks.
Yeah, we're fucking real comedians. But, I was on the Power Rangers wiki, and on, like, the Super Sentai page, I was looking to see if anybody'd put Juo Human up yet, or any info about him. And it said at the bottom that Mario's name might be a reference to the Nintendo character Mario from the Super Mario series, considering Juogers video game theme.
Do you think there's any credence to that?
I don't know. It's at that point, like at that edge where it's like one little lean in one direction and that's complete bullshit, and one little lean in the other direction and it's, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, it does have a video game theme, the show.
Sort of.
They'd have to throw in one little wink, and then I'd give it some weight.
Like if he said Ezio, it's a me, Mario.
I was just gonna mention that stupid part of Assassin's Creed 2. It's a me.
Dude, I love that part.
It's boy. It was stupid, but it was great.
It's stupid and great, but it's like it's a little obvious that he's already supposed to be Mario and that he wears red and blue and has a big handlebar mustache.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to put in your supposedly historical game, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Assassin's Creed says fuck you to history pretty quick, usually.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, that very game ends with you sword-fighting the Pope, who's using magic.
Oh no, you punch the Pope. You fist fight the Pope.
Yeah, you fist fight the Pope, who is using apple magic.
In the secret Vatican basement where the aliens live. So, yeah, absolutely.
The game goes off the rails like a motherfucker at the end. They all do.
Yeah.
Juogers is hard to, like, give a little rating for at the end, because every Juogers episode's good.
it's like good as the baseline for Jupiter. Yeah. And also, this week's episode is strongly overshadowed by this week's Kamen Rider, which is eating up all my valuable brain space. Yeah,
it's hard to really think critically about a lot of things in this episode, because like I said, one, it's setting up things.
Yeah.
And two, Kiria got fucking killed 5 minutes before I watched this episode.
Kiria got killed and there's a 700 chicken tenders. I just have too much on my mind to think about Juojer too critically.
My question about the chicken tenders, is there like a brand? Did somebody make like a brand of Kamen Rider that they just like brand the chicken tenders?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen a picture because they're so rare.
What I imagine is it's like a regular chicken tender, right? And there's like a rubber band around just a fucking like photograph, like a Polaroid. And it's just attached to the side of it.
Like a cheap printout on some 8.5x11 paper.
They didn't even cut it out. It's like a little picture right in the middle.
Here you go, kid. XA. You're the 700th customer.
It's only 700, though. They only had like 20 sheets of paper.
Yeah.
Anyway, Georgia was good this week.
Georgia was good, yeah.
How about some emails?
I was just going to ask, do we have some emails, Jeff?
We have plenty of emails. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to trim these emails down.
Yeah, this week we got too many emails, so if we don't read yours, don't take it personal.
Yeah, I might answer them back. I might not. I might save them for an episode where we don't have very many emails.
Maybe.
Anyway, our first email is from Eric. Not our friend Eric, but a different Eric who is now our friend.
Look, this Eric has never made us watch Crusader of Senti, so he's already pretty good in my book.
Still probably doesn't listen to this. Hey guys, I started your podcast in November with episode 1 and caught up. This is the brave soul that was doing that.
Wait, so November, 2 months. You watched almost 100 episodes of Rider Club Radio in 2 months. That's about 50 a month. That's more than a week.
That's fucking... These podcasts are over an hour. Every like, one of them.
That's like 10 a week.
Why would you do that to yourself?
You're a true hero. Jesus. You have the soul of a hero in you.
In that time, I have finished Drive, Kuga, Ghost, and started Agito.
What?
Yes, I do also have a life. I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit on
that
one.
Do you sleep? I finished Agito this week.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
As I hate spoilers, I had to watch Ghost and listen to your podcast, which I believe is in violation of the Geneva Convention, but your show made it bearable. Thanks.
Ghost is like, watching Ghost is like Normandy. It's like Storm in Normandy, but watching Ghost while listening to us is like Storm in Normandy with a band of brothers at your back. It's still awful and horrible, but at least you got someone to go with.
That is a fair and impartial analogy.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare it to Hiroshima, but Normandy. I'll go that far.
Rider Club Radio would like to issue an apology for the statements made.
We made an insensitive comment on the podcast about Normandy.
On to the questions.
On to the question.
When I finish Agito, we'll have watched every Heisei series, movie, and special.
Oh my god.
Which Showa series would you recommend starting at besides Black? Note, subbing status doesn't matter. Speaking of subbing status, like, all of the original Kamen Rider has been subbed now.
Whoa, really?
Or it's about to be? There's, like, somebody doing, like, speed subs for it.
I did not know that.
So that's a good one. I would say I've seen V3, and that's a good series. It's slow as shit in the middle, though.
I've seen bits of V3. V3's good. I know I'm, like, a broken clock, or broken record, rather. And that's because I haven't seen that many Showa series, but Stronger is a great time. Yeah,
I would actually recommend Stronger. If I was going to say pick any Showa series and watch it, Stronger is fun as shit.
Great villains, and great twists, cool transformation. Yeah.
It's goofy, but it's mostly the character that makes it goofy, that he's like an over-the-top type of guy.
Yeah, Joe Shigeru is a joy to follow on his adventure.
Yeah, I'd say Stronger.
Yeah, totally.
And if you want to watch something really fucking quick, I guess you can watch the Zetcross movie.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah.
It's not great, but you know, got a fucking amazing theme song.
A nice heaping helping of Showa. Just a big dollop on your plate and then you're done.
Yeah, it's got Dragon Road, which is probably one of the coolest Showa songs ever.
Some people don't like Dragon Road. I say they're fucked up.
What?
Yeah, I've heard some people shit-talking Dragon Road.
If you don't like Dragon Road, please click the X on whatever you're listening this in and burn everything you have Rider Club Radio related.
You're not here anymore.
Question two.
Thank God he's gone.
What rider, Showa and Heisei, would you like to guest star on Sailor Moon?
Would I like to... There, what?
There's an artist, Cannibal Saracenian? Saracian? I think it's Cannibal Saracian. I don't remember. But he does these series of like little joke illustrations of the original Kamen Rider and Sailor Moon being like old friends who meet up and talk about their adventures.
Yeah.
And they're fucking hilarious, so I'm going to have to go with the original Kamen Rider.
Oh. Which one would I have on Sailor Moon? Shit, I never watched Sailor Moon.
You know, Black might be a good one. Black Sun, and have Shadow Moon.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a really good one. It fits the motif.
That's not a bad choice, yeah. No, I was a Cardcaptor kid. I was the only Cardcaptor kid.
Cardcaptor.
What's the matter with Cardcaptor? Huh?
It's shit. That's it's great, though. It's not Sailor Moon.
I remember there was a bit, there was a character, I think his name was Lee, and he wore green and he could stop time, I think. He had a card that stopped time. And all I could think was, damn, that's overpowered. How does this guy ever lose a fight? And then years later, decades later, I read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and I was like, that's the way you do it. That's how you stop time. This guy knows what he's doing.
You should learn a fucking lesson from this guy, Lee. You idiot.
Lee, you fucking loser.
Since Liam doesn't have an answer,
I'm gonna say Black. I'm gonna steal your answer.
The last question I'm a little confused about. If you had to choose between walking only backwards for a year or only using English dictionary words. I mostly only use English dictionary words.
I couldn't impress girls with my French anymore, but I probably live with that.
I guess we really couldn't talk about Kamen Rider very much. We'd have to be like, welcome to Masked Rider Radio.
Masked Rider Radio. This week, Masked Rider blank, because there's no English word for Genmu.
appeared. That'd be really difficult for the podcast, but I'm going to go with English dictionary words.
That's the April Fool's episode this year. Look out for it.
Oh my god. keep up the good work from Eric. Thank you for writing in, dude.
Thanks.
You're a good guy.
I'm sure you're great.
Our next email is from Jake. Question one. Sorry if you guys already mentioned it, but what would your Gashikon weapons be as level 2 gamer riders? I know it might have already been done by Beast, but I think a dice saber could fit Morrowind.
A dice? Yeah. We talked about a sword that every time you swing it, you have to roll a dice. And if you roll wrong, you miss. And it just goes right through your opponent. That's Morrowind.
Yeah. Mine was like a side-scrolling beat-em-up, so I wouldn't have a weapon. Maybe like a...
pick up garbage cans
or
something.
Like a trash can would be my weapon. Like a knife.
Heal.
There's a knife in every
it's just a regular
beat-em-up.
It's not like a Kamen Rider knife, it's just a regular old Kamen knife.
Yeah, it's just
knife.
A fucking switchblade. Switch. I pick it up and like I can only use it 3 swipes and then I throw it the 4th one.
When you need to recover when your gauge is low, you can just eat an entire chicken out of a dumpster.
Question two. If you could change anything about how X8 has been so far, what would it or they be? Aside from removing Poppy and just having Asuna permanently from the start. Personally, I kind of wish Dan's identity as Genmu was left a mystery for longer in the arc, and that Lasers Level 2 had an actual humanoid mode, like how Excel wasn't locked to being a motorbike.
Yeah, Excel had it pretty good. Shall I go first, or shall you?
I'm gonna have to go with what I'm imagining is probably your answer, too, and it's that forms don't get thrown out so quickly.
I don't mind shitloads of forms. I don't mind it.
It's too quick.
It's a little quick, but I don't care. It's to me, forms are... they're a reality of the show, and as long as they don't affect the plot too hard, bring them or leave them or whatever.
I don't know. It's hard for me to feel like an attachment to the characters when they're constantly changing forms. Like, not characters, I can feel attachments to them, but, like, the writer form.
Like, the like action the main, is diluted, yeah.
Yeah, the main heroic writer form that's going to be in all the posters and shit. Like, when there's a million other forms coming in all the time, it's a little tough to feel an attachment to that main form.
Yeah. If I could change one thing, and this is something I change about practically every post-decade Heisei series, is to make the show a little more grounded. Is to make scenes where characters are just hanging out. Maybe it's because I just watched Agito, and there's so many scenes where Shoichi is just cooking or gardening, or the G3 crew is just getting ramen at a stand, and it's not... They're not advancing the plot or anything. You just get to see their characters, and you get to flesh out their characters.
Yeah, and they might talk about the plot, or they might talk about the situation or whatever, but it's mostly just about the characters.
I like a scene where they're like, Shoei's worried about, or Shoei, Shoichi is worried about gills or whatever's happening, and he's making a cake, and Mana's like, what's the cake? And he's like, oh, I put cabbage juice in it to counteract the egg flavor, and it's just them talking about baking cakes and stuff, and they're people. They're real people for a bit. I wish more post-decade Heisei series did stuff like that.
That's true.
There's
a little bit
of
that in Double.
Yeah?
Like, the one that popped in my mind immediately is that Shotaro and Philip both become, like, huge fans of a radio show.
Hmm.
And they, like, there's a scene where they're sitting in a living room, like, not even paying attention to each other, but they're singing along to the song on the radio, and, like, doing little dance moves with their upper bodies.
Yeah. And I have to ask, does this radio show turn out to be evil or something?
Part of the plot? Sort of. But yeah, it's not part of that episode's evil plot.
Oh, okay. But you see what I mean, like, there's nothing...
I mean, it's like, sort of, it's not really. The radio station is not evil at all.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay.
It's spoilers to get into anything else, but...
Okay, I get it. Kiria dies. I understand.
Oh, spoiler alert.
It's always funny, a friend of mine got this thing, I think it's called an Android box or something that you put on your TV, and you can find shows, and it just finds, it just downloads them for you. It's like Netflix, but it's illegal and it has everything. And I found Kamen Rider on there. And it's funny because we think of Kamen Rider as different shows. Like, Kamen Rider Double is a different show from Kamen Rider Blade. But on there, it's like...
seasons.
It's like Kamen Rider, 87,000 seasons. And it's like, the Kamen Rider is the story of young Takeshi Hongo kidnapped by Nazis. And I was like, not anymore, it's not.
Yeah.
And it goes on for 76 years.
It wasn't bad after two seasons.
But the way it is on there, it makes it seem like it's six quintillion seasons of this guy dealing with Nazis.
Dude, I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, that wouldn't get stale.
No.
No, not at all.
Suck a dick.
Okay.
Last question. About Kiria's parting words, do you think that implies Emu's a bugster? Or got turned into one? Maybe.
That's, like, because the surgery is to get a little bit of bugster virus in you so that you're immune to it.
Yeah.
So it could be that Emu is secretly totally infected, and at any time now he's going to turn into a horrible beast, or maybe he's a bugster, or whatever. Maybe
I'm a little tired of that plot point.
Yeah,
actually.
I know. I think Xade's going to pleasantly surprise us.
Yeah, I agree. I think that might be true, but things might go differently this time.
We'll see. Never know.
Jake says, thanks, looking forward to the next episode, and wishing you guys the best for the new year.
Thank you for writing in.
Thank you, sir. You're a good guy.
Just like throwing a little compliment there.
Our next email is from Nick, who's calls himself Cayman Roder, which I love.
Cayman Roder.
Hello, Jeff and Liam. I'm Nick, and I've only been listening to RCR for about as long as X-Aid's been on, but I gotta say, I love it.
You made a good choice.
Yeah. We're the only Kamen Rider podcast ever.
We're the only Kamen Rider podcast that features two guys named Jeff and Liam, so...
We're the only tokusatsu podcast on the internet. Don't Google it.
That's true, yeah.
I first started watching Kamen Rider when Ghost was on, so naturally the first Rider I watched was Ghost. I hated it. I abandoned it 28 episodes in and made the first series I ever finished, and my favorite, Forze.
Not bad.
Not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice.
After that, I tried Decade. I heard it was bad, but I didn't think going into it I wouldn't survive two episodes. After that, I tried Double, O's, Drive, and Gaim, and none of them stuck. I'm currently on episode 34 of Deno and love it. Any ideas on what I should watch next after Deno?
Double O's, Gaim, and Drive, none of them, eh? Those are good shows.
Deno. Deno's so goofy. I don't know if... And Forze's so goofy. I don't think any other writer series ever gets that goofy.
That goofy, yeah, I don't know. Fuck. Shoichi's kind of a goofy guy. You want to watch Agito? Agito's really good.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I currently own a Forze and Drive Driver. The only reason I bought the Drive Driver was because I got it on the cheap.
Drive Toys didn't sell well, so...
I was wondering when you were going to do a spoiler cast for Forze or Deno. Liam has not seen either of those shows.
They're on my list.
I've only seen all of Forze. I haven't seen all of Deno, so...
Deno, I'm interested in.
Also, I showed my friend X-Aid, and he said he would watch it when it was over. Should I let him do that, or should I make him watch it weekly?
You should tie your friend down and force him to watch it weekly.
You should let your friend do whatever they
want. Pull a Clockwork Orange. Pull his eyes open and trip.
You should let your friend do whatever they want. If you force somebody to watch something, they're not going to like it.
Yeah, it's true.
9 times out of 10, if somebody's like, oh, I'll watch it later, and you're like, no, watch it now, and they agree, they're going to end up hating it.
Don't push it on them.
That friend also doesn't like Brave Level 3. I think Brave Level 3 looks dumb as well. Whoa. I don't hate it or anything.
The Man Surrounded by Shit Taste, starring Liam.
Oh my god. It looks silly.
I like it. There's nothing cooler than a DJ on top of a medieval knight.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Catch you later, Shibuya and Narita. Sincerely, Nick.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or...
P.S. in the distance.
Tatakai. Tatakai. Watch Ryuki.
P.P.S. Ghost theme was the only good thing to come out of Ghost.
Yeah, I like Ghost theme.
I don't.
Fuck yeah.
P.P.P.S. Fuck Genmu.
Well, like, fuck him as a character, or like, fuck him, you don't like him?
Because
I like him, but
I can't ask the question.
He's a nasty guy. Hey, why aren't you answering? Do you like Genmu or not? Listens to me's.
You guys listens to me's.
All's right. We're just gonna talk about some Kamen Riders.
So I am gonna do this last email.
Okay, do it. Do the last email.
Our final email of the evening is from Adam, who says, "Hey Jeff and Liam, I thought you might like to know some fun facts, but I also have a question."
Okay.
Fun fact number one, if you invert the colors of Mario, you end up with the colors of Mighty Action XX, with the hat and shirt being teal and the overalls being orange.
Oh my god.
Oh my god!
Mighty Action XX is appearing next episode, Mighty Brothers Double X.
I love that form, actually.
It's pretty cool.
I think it's cool as shit. Also, thanks for that fun fact, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fun fact number two, the Q Ranger are based on constellations. Where do you think our intelligence level is, sir?
I didn't catch that, but Jeff caught that. He told me, he corrected me.
Oh, on the episode. Liam's an idiot. I forgot. Yeah,
I thought they were just animals. I didn't see the Libra.
No, what a dipshit.
I know.
And he goes through and tells us which is which. Liam should maybe study this list.
Is there going to be a test?
Yes. You'll at least get one right. Chameleon Green is based on the Chameleon constellation.
Who's Cancer?
There is no Cancer.
How can you have a rider Super Sentai without Cancer?
Man, that took you a couple times, didn't it?
I said rider, and then I was going to say Heisei. Like, that was more specific. And then I was super. Look, I'm a little ill today.
Yeah.
I've been battling illness.
A little stupid.
A little stuffy. Okay, shut up.
Apparently Hibitsukai Silver means Snake Charmer Silver.
Snake Charmer Silver, eh?
Yeah. And I'll leave you with this question. If you could sub any writer and bring it over in a legal box set for American audiences, what would it be? I thought Gaim would be good, but then I realized no American is going to watch something with a fruit samurai on the cover. Signed, Adam.
I don't know, man. A lot of people I know liked Gaim.
Yeah, Gaim's probably a good idea. Amazon's was probably the best idea, and that's why it's the one that's coming over here.
Amazon's was a great choice. Gaim is one that you gotta sell it. And if you can sell it, if you can just sell the premise, they'll take it and usually really enjoy it. But selling the premise is kind of hard.
What episode number are we on right now? 97?
Yeah, I think so. Why?
From now on, every time we get that email, I'm going to say, refer to episode 97 for the answer.
For which writer series we would adapt to America?
Yeah, we've gotten that question probably about 15 times at this point, and I continuously don't answer it because I'm a jackass. That's what I do. But the answer is probably, it used to be Kabuto for me, now it's Amazon's.
I'm going to stick with Kabuto, I'm sticking to my guns.
And Gaim would also be a good one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take that shit to the bank!
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Sonny.
Shove that up your ass and spin.
That's a little extreme, but...
No, thank you for writing in, though. And you did teach me something about the constellations there. I didn't know Hibitsu Kaim was Snake Charmer.
Me neither. That's pretty cool. Something new every day.
That's pretty neat.
I like it.
So you finished Agito.
I finished Agito. This week.
It only took you 4 years.
I was watching it for probably like at least half a year. And I'll save my in-depth thoughts for if we ever do a spoiler cast.
Yeah. We might end up doing a spoiler cast next week since X8 isn't on.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. What I will say is Agito, it was very good. I loved it. When it started out, I said it was better than Kuga. I think I might have to say it's just a little bit less good than Kuga.
That's my opinion of it, actually.
It takes a little too long to solve its mystery. Like, it drags in the middle like most other writer shows.
Kuga drags as well, but, I mean, it's like... Kuga drags, Agito drags, but, like, there's this balance of all of the things that have to do with the shows. And I feel like Kuga still comes out slightly over Agito. Very slightly.
Yeah. Kuga's dragging is better than Agito's dragging. It's more emotional. Kuga's a little more emotional. And don't get me wrong, Agito is very emotional. It's a very human show. Kuga and Agito are both very human shows. But I think Kuga is a little... Just barely edges it out. Maybe just for the teacher arc.
Yeah. Just barely edges Agito. I love Kuga. If I had to, tell someone to watch a series between Kuga and Agito, I'd probably tell him Agito. It's more...
more plot-heavy.
It's more plot-heavy, it's more accessible as a series.
It's got an Iron Man sort of guy.
Kuga isn't really as acceptable in that way.
Yeah. Speaking of Iron Man sort of guys, I will say this as well. Of all the Rider movies I've seen, the best one is G4. By a fucking country mile. It's so good.
I haven't
good.
Seen G4.
It is but so good.
I will good. Say, Liam has never seen A to Z Guy Memories of Fate.
I haven't seen Double. Double's on my list. Might watch
what
it next.
What are you watching next? Have you decided?
I've narrowed it down to Blade Gaim or not Gaim. Blade Fies or Double. I don't know
I'm gonna
which.
Have to go with Double.
I'm leaning to Blade, but...
Blade's also a really good choice. I don't like Fies at all. So.
I feel like I need to watch Double, like, out of duty. Like, everyone has seen Double except for me. I have to sit down and watch
Double.
Don't
watch it out of duty. Watch it because it's a fun-ass show with a cool storyline.
Yeah, that's what I hear about it, too.
Just go into it with no expectations to see where it takes you. Because Double was the first series I watched through.
Mm-hmm. And it was good?
It was great. Still one of my favorites.
Yeah, if I do go Double, I'm probably going to do O's and Forza right after as well. Just going to shoot that whole barn.
I still haven't finished O's. I made fun of you for so long about Agito, and I just stopped watching O's.
You just completely dropped O's, yeah.
I want to go back to it, I do, but I don't know. It felt so formulaic after a certain period.
It's sad because it's the same head writer as Ryuki, and I... expect a lot out of her, but she doesn't always deliver.
I don't know. It was because it got hyped up so heavily at me. It's like the same thing that happened with Forze, where it got so super hyped.
Yeah.
But I got over that as I watched more Forze and grew to like the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Oz was like way more overhyped for me at that point than Forze, because my own friends were telling me how amazing O's was. Yeah, it wasn't just strangers.
All the dudes were watching O's, yeah.
And I watched it, and I got to, like, episode 24, 25, something. And I think I was actually 28, but I just, it's good. It just doesn't really carry my attention very heavily.
A lot of people getting their pitchforks up there.
I'm sure. I'm going back to it, and I'm going to give it another shot. I like it. It's a good show. It's just, you guys overhyped it for me, you motherfuckers.
You ruined it. You ruined O's. How dare you?
Ruined my fucking life.
You ruined my childhood.
So next week, either there won't be an episode of Rider Club Radio, or there will be a spoiler cast. Either you'll get something you really want, or there'll be a spoiler cast.
That was good. I actually wasn't expecting that.
So, for this week, I would like you all to know that I appreciate you listening to this podcast.
Yes, and we have an email. If you'd like to send us an email, that's riderclubradio@gmail.com.
And we have a Twitter that you could follow us, at Rider Club Radio, where we post fun shit, snap judgments of things, we interact with you fans, retweet things that are fun and cool.
We make some of the funniest tweets on the internet.
Once a month.
Once a month.
We might tweet something fun and funny.
We expend the tank.
So follow us there and send us an email if you'd like your email read out on the air. It's probably best to do something short and sweet, but I love reading your takes on episodes and stuff as well. I just don't read them out on the air, because we only have like an hour and 15 minutes or so, usually.
we go an hour to an hour 30, depending.
And we try to keep it within that, and if I read everything you fucking poet laureate sent to us, we'd be like a six-hour podcast.
But they are being read.
Yeah, I do read them, and I do enjoy reading them.
So
don't send me fucking spoilers from an episode that are right at the beginning of your email, so it shows up in the preview, please.
Yeah, we can't. Sometimes we don't have time to watch the episode right as it comes out. We got shit to do.
At least do like a little introduction first before you jump into the spoilers, so it doesn't show up in the preview.
Yes, thank you for that.
And thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next week.
See you. Rest in peace, Kyria.
Peace.